And this morning's a special day just because we're talking about what God's done in our lives. And I know it's spring break, but still a lot of you are here, and I'm glad to see that. What I want to do that real quick this morning is I want to share with you just in a brief minute or so the past, the present, and the future of Heart Cry Church. And so I want to do that in a way where I've asked some people that I think I'm just going to, I wish they would come up, but I'm not sure they will. Will you come up? Come on up, Bubs, and your whole family, if you will. Give Bubs and Shannon a hand. That's right. It's all right. It's scary up here, but in just a minute, I'm going to have more people up here, so it won't be too bad. Yeah, come on up here just real quick. And I want the whole family up here. I'm just going to show you just a reflection. Today's kind of a snapshot of our church. And you're going to see I have some illustrations I'm going to use in just a minute. But a quick snapshot. This family right here was the first Sunday we started. You see, in Easter will be our sixth year birthday. And the first Sunday we started, this family came. Me and Lisa and my family had a dream to start Heart Cry Church. We showed up at a school, and this family came. And since then, and I forgot to ask you guys, didn't I baptize all of y'all?
Yep.
Praise the Lord, I baptized them all. Isn't that neat? And yeah, and in the old days, we baptized in a horse trough. It was a lot of fun. And I got to baptize all of them. But it's neat to see that what God has done. And this is a family, I just want to share this with you just real quick, and then I'm going to have some other people come up. But this is a family that has done a lot for our church. Shannon has served and is actually on staff now and works hard. And we appreciate them. But Bubs, this past Thursday was your year anniversary. A year ago this past Thursday, Bubs, with me and Shannon and Lisa Standen, literally died right in front of us at the hospital. His heart quit and it went very scary. Never forget that day. And I know Bubs won't either, and I know none of us will. But a year ago Thursday, and as I thought about that this week and I prepared my sermon, I called him and I said, you guys, I want to share that because God is good, isn't he? Yeah. Bubs is here today and we're thankful for that. As I reflect a snapshot of our whole church, though, I praise the Lord that Bubs was saved and baptized at Heart Cry Church, even though he's still alive. And I'm glad you are. I'm glad you are. You see what I'm saying? Church is a powerful thing in our lives. And because of that, now Tyler's in the band and helps us and all their kids work and help. But I thank God for what God has done in the past. Now, if you're new to our church in the last 6 months to a year, if you've joined Heart Cry Church, will you come up real quick? And this won't be too painful. Please come up. I know there's several of you that have joined just recently. If you'll come up, get some more people up here. Get warm. It's kind of cold up here. These people are our present people, people that have joined presently. Stacy, when am I going to do the next class for Discover Who We Are? The week after Easter, I'll be doing another class where a lot of these people will be involved, and I'll teach them about what we believe here and our doctrine and our theology and kind of how our heartbeat and what we do. And they'll be introduced to the staff and all that. But these are folks that have joined in the last just little bit, and they've come, and this is the present. If you guys are the past, and I'm glad you're still here, this is our present. This means this is the people of Heart Cry that are going today to try to reach and teach men and women, boys and girls about Christ. Isn't this great to see families up here that have said, I want to commit to a church and then commit to Christ? And you'll see why I'm doing this when I give you statistics in just a moment. But thank you all. Praise the Lord for you guys. And you guys stay up here for just a minute. Stay up here for just a minute. I'm going to give you guys some stage time. How's that? Praise the Lord. Now, if you're zero to high school senior, I want you to come up. Guys, this is our future. This is our future. Will you all come up? Here at Heart Cry, we have an eye towards the future. And these kids that are coming up will be the church. Amen? They will be the church. And as these kids come up, I want you to look around now around you. I want to ask you this question. If you have served in any capacity teaching children zero through high school, I would love for you to stand up right now. If you've taught Sunday school zero, and in fact, any Sunday school teacher, even adults, will you stand up? If you're teaching at this Heart Cry Church, stand up today. Stand up today. Look around, everybody, and let's honor them. Praise the Lord for you. Praise God. That's right. That's right. Without the people that teach, we would have no future, right? And so here at Heart Cry, we are in line and online to dedicate ourselves to these families for the past, present, and the future. Not only to help them through everyday situations, but to teach them the true living Word of God. Amen? Thank you all for being up here today. You can go back now, unless you want to stay up here with me. Either way. No? Yeah, praise God for that. That's right. Thank you, everybody. Be careful. All right. Wanted to show you just a snapshot of what God's looking down and seeing at our church. And now today I want to show you a few other things. And in your bulletin, if you don't have a bulletin, it's important that you do today, because I want you not only to take notes, but I really want you to notice that in the bulletin there is going to be, I'm going to pull it out so you can actually see it, this piece of paper that's in your bulletin. Does everybody have that? And in fact, if you don't have this, David, will you make sure everybody has one? David Knowles is in the back. He can get you one. He'll grab some. We have a couple up here, David, that need one. Several of them need this. I want you to have this today because this will help you follow along with the sermon. Look at my wife. She doesn't even have one. All right. I'm going to point her out. How do you like that? Oh, my daughter does, though. Thank you, Paige. I want you to have this for today's sermon. Peggy, a few more up here. David, quite a few. Thank you guys for doing that. Praise the Lord. Now, Shannon, is there a children's church today? Okay, so if you're 4 to 9, oh, I'm sorry, 5. If you're 4, stay here. If you're 5 to 9, or if you're 4, maybe there's a nursery. But if you're 5 to 9, Miss Kathy's going to take you today. Thank you, Kathy. 5 to 9. How old are you? Oh, he's too old. 11, right? Okay, 5 to 9. 5 to 9. There they go. Look at them go. All right. Thank you, Kathy Knowles. All right. Open your Bibles this morning with me, if you will. And I want to today give you principles of the Bible. I want to give you factual information from the Bible and from our church. I want to give you factual information today, nothing on my opinion, but totally facts about what God's doing in and around Heart Cry Church and the church in America today. Now, I realize this. We've already handed out about 5,000 invitations and invitations to come to our church. And so today I actually look out and I see people I don't know, which is awesome. So I see people that have come through invitation, and I'm glad they're here today. But hear me when I say this. Everybody look up here. Our church believes in the Bible, and we believe everything about the Bible. And my fear is, as the staff met this week, and me and Stacy talked about this a lot this week, my fear is that, Scott, somebody will come today, and they'll go, all they ever do is talk about money at church. It's not all we ever talk about here. In fact, I don't talk about it enough, possibly. But we teach the whole Bible. And today is just the day where I talk a little bit about money. Now, today is not a sermon about money. Young people, you'll really want to get this because this will help you for the rest of your life. This is an awesome Bible that's alive and well. And we're going to get some principles today that will help you in the future. But if you're visiting here today, praise the Lord for you. We love you here and we need you here and we want you here. But it's not always about money. It just happens to be today. Are you with me? Everybody say okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, if I need to say that again, I will. But that's where we're at today. But praise the Lord for all you guys that are here. And let's go and let's look at what the Word says. Now, as we open our Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9. And we're going to read 6 through 13. But before we do that, I think I need to set up for you what this passage is in on context. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth to have them help the church in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, in the church in Jerusalem, the people were under great, tremendous persecution. They were under great tyranny of their government. They were under great oppression and depression from those around them. And so Paul reached out to them through the Corinthian church and said to the Corinthians, we need your help. There's a church over here that's struggling and in trouble, and we need you to come alongside, if you will, and to help. And so the Bible speaks about this in 2 Corinthians. And it's a powerful, powerful testimony for us to read today. So as we set the stage in the context, I want you to pay attention and look what's going on. So let me say it one more time, because you've got to hear this or you won't get the sermon. The Christ followers in the city of Jerusalem were suffering. Now I'm going to ask a question. You don't have to, but you can if you want to answer out loud. Are you suffering today? Many of us are. All right? And so this is a word to us. So Paul, when he writes this, he challenges the people. Now, if you hear anything today, there's quite a few I want you to hear, but hear this first. Paul talks about the word generosity in this passage that I'm about to read for you. And when I say generous, I want to give you some guidelines. When I say the word generous, I mean generous in life, generous with love, generous with care, generous with compassion, and generous with money and resources. Generous can cover all of this. Are you with me? Well, one is, so amen. Let's press on. All right. This is good stuff. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. We're going to start with verse 6. Paul says this. The point is this. Whoever, underline that word, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. If I was, you know, I was thinking the other day, anybody here missing any football? Don't you miss football? I wish I was, what's that guy's name? John Madden. I was thinking, I wish I had John Madden today. Because if I was John Madden, I'd put this up on the board, get the telestrator out, and I'd say, boom, Abel, ooh, right there it is, man. I just thought of that when I read that the other day. And Lisa said, Billy, you need to like rent a football game or something and watch football. God is able, and that's awesome, to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, that you may abound in all good works. And the word all means all, and that's all means. And it is written, he has distributed freely, and he has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the seed, that is God, to the sower, that is you, and the bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. You will be enriched in every way. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Generous. Generous. This is good right here. In every way. Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And I'm going to explain that. But for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution from them and for all of them. Let's pray. Father God, be with us today. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us to see this pericope of your word, Lord, in a way that we've never seen it before. May what we do bring glory to God, Lord, not what glory to ourselves. And may we be generous in all ways. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Generosity in every way. Generous in every way. Paul tells us that if we are generous, it will demonstrate the grace of God to the world. That's what he says. And it will bring glory to God through our lives. I want you to say this with me. To demonstrate, I'm going to say it and then you're going to say it with me. To demonstrate the grace of God. Okay. To the world. All right. And bring glory to God. Through our life. Man, that's it. That's where we're at. America, that's what we need. Church, can you hear me? That's where we're at today. What does this mean, this word generous? What does it mean to have a generosity? Well, I tried to break it down to where we could all understand what generosity meant. Because I believe today that maybe we've lost an angle of what the word generous means. And so let me give it to you in a way that I hope we can understand. Generosity, it says in your bulletin, is a lifestyle, and it'll say it on the screen, that gives freely and lives open-handed. Or open-handedly. All right, let's say it again. A lifestyle that gives freely and lives with an open hand. Or open-handedly. So it's a lifestyle, not just an act. I know people that every once in a while have an act of generosity. But it must be a lifestyle. Do you love everybody? Remember the list I gave you in the first sentence? Your love and your care and your compassion. Your life, your money, your resources. Are you generous in all ways? Or is it all about me and what can they give me? See, the world is watching to see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through you, the church. You! Went to dinner with the other night. It's Paige's birthday, her 21 birthday, and so she invited some friends. And one of her friends showed up, And he said, "Pastor, what are you preaching on Sunday?" And I don't ever ask a pastor what he's preaching on Sunday unless you want to get a sermon. Amen? And I said, "Really, you want to know? I want to know." I said, "Get your napkin out and get a pen. I'm going to give it to you." You know. Now, anyway, I went through some steps, and at the end, the waitress came, and there was about 10 of us. So they had applied a 15% gratuity to each of us. And Paige already said, "Daddy, you pay for our family, and the other families will pay for their own selves." And so I said, "Praise the Lord." And I had just got done telling this guy about generosity, so I know he's thinking, "I bet he'll pick up my bill." And we went to Roadhouse. I mean, this is not cheap. All right? And Jana wasn't working, so I didn't get a bill. All right? So I'm sitting there thinking, "God, what do I do here? Do I pick it up?" I just told him, you know, generosity. I preached my guts out to him. And now I'm saying I'm stingy. So I thought, no, I'm just going to be stingy. And so then I looked at the gratuity, and it was 15%. And then when the girl took my card and came back, it said gratuity, 15%, and then it said additional tip. And so I looked at this guy and I said, "Additional tip? Can you believe the gall?" And he goes, "Billy, you just preached to me about generosity." I felt that big. It's exactly what happened. He said, "Are you generous? That's for the people that are generous." So I put down there, you know, dollar. No, I put two more dollars. I added to it. People, I need to be reminded about generosity, so I know you do. Amen? And the Bible says we need to be in generosity in all of things. And sometimes it's easy for me to just be generous with my love and say, "Oh, I just love y'all, hug you and stuff." But we need to be generous in everything we do, in our compassion, in our giving, in our resources, in our love, in our caring. All these things, Paul tells us. So it's not just an act, it's a lifestyle. It's who I am. It's who I am. Do I give freely? And if I do, it means that it doesn't matter what it's to or what it's about. No strings attached when I give freely. "Yes, Pastor, we'll give you this money, but it's got to be for this." And that's not a bad thing. Don't hear me when I say that. I love when people give and it's undesignated. But I also love when people say, "Just do with what you want." In other words, "I'm going to give you this, but now you got to listen to me." No, there's no strings attached. When we give to somebody, it's given freely, open-handedly, giving it away. And to live open-handedly means this: everything we have and are, we live with open hands. Are you able, underline that word, able to give everything away? Are you able to give away your house, your car? Are you able to give away your watch, your rings? Are you able to give away everything you have? Minus your family. Don't give them away unless they're teenagers. But, you know, careful with that. Amen or oh me, right? Live open-handedly. Now, let me ask you a question. Does America understand the principle of generosity?
No.
I'm not sure. I've fought this in my life. I fought this week. You know, we did run over to Haiti, and we did run over to Chile, and we did run over to Japan, and we do run everywhere that there's a disaster. That's pretty cool. And I think that that's a remnant of our Christian heritage coming through, that that's our last thing. When we quit doing that, people were in trouble, and I think we're close to quit doing that. I think we're going to say next earthquake, we don't have any money. We can still give our love and our care, and we can give hope. But I'm afraid that our system, our government, and our American way of thinking is, we can't do that anymore. But praise God that we were able to go to Haiti and Chile. Praise God for that, America. And that is because of our American Christian culture. I'm telling you, that's what's left. But no, America does not understand generosity. Why? Well, let me give you another scenario. Everybody look up here. Does the church get it? Does the church get generosity? Do we get it? Do we really get a concept of living open-handedly and giving freely? Do we get it? Well, since I don't want to have any opinion in this poll, I want to get the facts. And so as I look today, I've studied, and I found a study that was released in 2009 through the North American Mission Board, and it stated this. It said that the average church member today, now let me explain church member, not church goer, not the guy that just every once in a while goes. This is the church member. And in North American Mission Board, they don't know about Arizona yet, but they're catching on because I'm preaching to them. Most churches down south and back east, people go to church. Now, in Arizona, we got to beg them and ride them and pay them to go, but that's a different story. But this survey says that most people that go to church, these are every weekend Christians, listen to this, hold on to your heart. The average church member gave only, I wish I had a drum roll, 2.65% of their income away to the church in 2009. 2.65%. Now, I don't want to get into a big debate. I have a debate you can hear on CD that I debated a guy on the radio one day. I believe that the New Testament tells us, you know, it doesn't say 10%. We should give all we can to God. But for the sake of argument, today we're going to say 10%. Amen? Can I go with that? Okay. Abraham gave 10%. The word tithe in Hebrew means 10. That's all I'm going to tell you. But the average church America, the average church going to America today, according to the 2009 census and the North American Mission Board, gave back 2.65% of their income away. Whoa! Right? You talk about something that does not demonstrate, hear me, the grace of God, does not give glory to God. It's that. Amen. Everything else aside. You talk about what does not give God glory and what does not demonstrate God's grace. It's that we only give 2.65% of what God's given us back to God. Now, this is not a financial series or a tithing message. This is only about obedience to God. You either believe what the Bible says or go throw it away. This is real, and we need to either believe it. I don't even know what to say for the reciprocal. I'm afraid not to believe it. I'm afraid not to give. 2.65%. These are churchgoers. So the question is this, how will so many desperately, I'm going to change that word, desperate people who need Christ see Christ? How will so many people out there, and North American Mission Board, 233 million people in America are lost and dying, going to hell. That's a lot. That's more than I can count on one hand, right? 233 million people. How are they going to see Christ if we are not generous people? How? People have needs all over. I look around when I drive. There's people everywhere with needs. We saw a sign the other day. Where were we, Lisa? Out of work. We'll work. It didn't even ask for money. Just said, I want to work. I need a job. There's people everywhere with needs, and how will they see Jesus? The Bible tells us if God's own people are not generous, how will people of this world that are hungry see Jesus if we're not generous? How will the homeless be homed and housed if we are not generous people that care for people? People have dramatic needs everywhere in their lives for various reasons today. But if the church is not generous, then the church can't, cannot, will not, won't, whatever you want to use, do it. But surely you say, my church isn't like that. Well, listen, again, not my opinion. I want to show you some facts today that have burdened me this past few weeks as I've learned these facts. And I want to know, because we've been preaching to the family for the last 6 weeks. I've done a whole series on family. I want you to realize that this has to do with your family, people. And again, I'm going to apologize one more time. If this is your first time here, this is not how we always go. But this is unapologetically what we need to hear. All right? So, here we go. I want to show you. But I want to make a statement to you that are visiting today. If you're visiting today, look up here. Everybody else, take a quick nap. If you're visiting today, let me promise you one thing. Watch me. If you'll stick with me long enough, I promise you, I will teach you from Genesis to Revelation. You'll get it all. Amen. You will. I had a brother tell me this morning, it's a deacon here, said, brother, I appreciate you because you show me things that I don't always see or want to see. If you'll stick with me, I'm going to teach you Genesis to maps. But you got to stick with me. But today we're talking about this. And so grab your paper of this snapshot and hold it out, and we're going to look at it in just a second. We're going to look at it. So surely my church is different from the American culture, right? Well, let's look and see. Here's the facts. The facts are I broke this up into family units. It's easier for me. Let me give you an example of a family unit. My family unit is me, my wife, and my kids. Now, me and my wife give to the church, but my kids also give to the church. But we're one family unit because they have my last name. Poor things. Everybody say, aw, aw. But we're one family unit. Okay, does that make sense? And so, John, you're here visiting today. If John ever gave anything to our church, he would be a family unit. So we have a possibility of about 321 family units in 2009 that had the ability to be able to give to Heart Cry Church. And I don't even want to say it that way. Had the ability to be obedient in God's word and give to God. Are you with me? So if we had 315 to 325, it was hard to nail down with Fellowship One, but it's somewhere between 315 and 325 family units. Now, if you look on your paper, let me explain this. It says right here, only out of 315, only 116 family units gave. Now, I grew up in Gilbert, so somebody take 315 minus 116. What's the answer? What is it? A lot? Did you go to Gilbert too? I didn't. Oh, all right. What's 315 minus 116? Huh? 199. Must be a Queen Creek Inn in here. So 199 possible family units that could have, that walked through these doors, never gave 1 cent. Everybody cry, all right? 1 cent. Now, just the facts, baby, just the facts. Out of the 116 families that did give, look on here. Out of that, 57 of the 116 families gave either 0 to 500. In other words, 1 penny to 599 cents, $500 in a year. That's 57 of the 116 that gave, which adds up to 49.14% of all of our giving, of our givers. So 50%, if you will, of the people that gave to HeartCry gave less than $500 in 1 year's period. Just the facts. Now, if you go down 500 to 1,000, 9 families gave between 500 and 1,000. Now, let me cut to the chase for time's sake. If you look at the bottom, if you go to gov.net, census.com, or whatever you want to Google, the average total household income for 85142, 85242 is $63,702. That would mean this, that the average income of a family in Queen Creek. Now, I know there's some that are less and some that are more. The average, according to govnot.net, not according to me or anybody on my staff, is $63,702. 10% of that would be $6,370.50. I graduated. Praise the Lord. I do know decimals. Lisa teaches Dewey decimals to kindergartners, and I listen. That brought back some memories, didn't it, Dewey decimals? I dated myself bad. Let's look at this. So, if $6,370.50, in my book, that's somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000. Or line number 5 on your outlet that you have right there on your handout. So, out of 116 that gave, out of 315 that could have given, 13 families of this church gave a tithe to God. Amen or oh me, right? Oh me. Oh, me. Now, again, I'm not mad, I'm not glad, I'm just showing you facts. That means 86.21% of the people at Heart Cry Church that gave between, if you'll add it up right here, you'll see it, gave under $5,000 a year, which is under a tithe, according to gov.net, according to the averages. I understand if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I only make $20,000 a year. I understand that. I'm using averages for average sake, just so we can get a picture of where we're at. 13 families gave what would be considered a tithe on the average. 3 families gave more. Now, what I wish I could do is take the 16 families that gave a tithe or more and have them give testimony. You would not believe how God's blessing their life and their families. You wouldn't believe it. It's awesome. Now, let me give you another indicator. I don't know these people. I don't know if you give or if you don't give. I know what I give. I know where I'm at on here. I don't know what you give. All right? I don't know. They won't tell me these things. And I want to know. I don't want to know. So, as we do some more math, and I'm almost done, listen to me. As I do the math, if the average is $63,702.50, or $6,370.50, that would mean that the average, if the 116 people still gave their tithe, that would mean that every week the average giving family would give $122.50 a week. And that would make $63.70.50 a year. All right? Again, I'm just laying out facts. Stay with me, please. But let's dream a little bit. If 116 units gave $122.50 per year or per week, it would equal, I'm doing this fast in my head, listen to me, 700 and about 50, $749,000-something dollars a year would be our budget. Can you imagine what we could do with that if everybody gave what we could do? Can you imagine what we could do? But while we're dreaming, let's dream a little farther and let's look at what we have done with just the facts. Do you realize that this church has started the Arizona City Cowboy Church financially, helped them to get started? And last year they baptized several people. I think it was 27. Do you realize that the year before that we started and helped the Journey Church in Tucson? One of my friends is pastor in that church, and we have given and helped them to start their church. Do you realize here that we have helped start the year before that the Pinal County Cowboy Church, which is doing very well? In fact, yesterday they did a team roping once a month where there's like 600 and 700 people on a Saturday there hearing the Word of God. We actually do a sermon before we rope. Do you also realize that just recently we helped start the Harvest Community Church out in Anthem financially and through prayer? And Mike and Debbie are here this morning, and praise the Lord for them. This week they led 5 people to Christ and had 27 more people commit to come into their church as a Bible study. I think we ought to not patty cake. I think we ought to clap. Thank you, Mike and Debbie, for that work. Do you realize that the Gila Valley Baptist Association, we have given $10,000 a year the last 3 years in a row to help reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ by supporting the Gila Valley Baptist Association? Do you realize in the past 3 years in a row, we've given $25,000 or more to the Arizona Southern Baptist Convention, which you have supported over 5,000 North American missionaries and over 5,300 international missionaries? Praise God. And you have helped start 5 churches in Ecuador that today are still alive and well that we went down 3.5 years ago and started. This church has been generous. And this church will continue to be generous. But see, I'm concerned about the man and woman out there that needs Jesus. You see, I'm concerned about the needs of the families out there in Queen Creek that need Jesus. I'm concerned about the 233 million Americans out there that need Jesus. In a world that is 90% lost without Jesus, I'm concerned. And the church should be a picture of generosity, a generous heart, a picture of Jesus. Let me let you in on something. Everybody look up here. The community out there that's not in here today, they think we're generous. You know why I know? Answer my phone one day. Be my secretary. Is this Heart Cry Church? Yes, it is. We need money. What do you need it for? Our electric bill? Is this Heart Cry Church? We need money. What do you need it for? Our house payment. Is this Heart Cry Church? Yes, it is. What do you need? We need food. Can you help? Every day. They think we're generous. But yet, I'm bringing it home right now, and I'm showing you that, let me get my numbers right, 86-point-something% of us give less than a tithe. Are we generous? I'm worried. Let's take a snapshot of what the Bible says in its principles. Somebody yell out the time to me. Oh man, I'm good. I only take a few more minutes. Let's look at our Bibles real quick, and let me show you why I brought this stuff along. Quickly, go to Deuteronomy 28:8. Quickly, front of your Bible. Go all the way to Genesis, turn right, or go way back there. How's that? Are you with me this morning, guys? I know you don't like these kind, but we have to do these, guys. You know, if we're going to build our buildings and dream our dreams and worship and lead people to Christ, we've got to be generous. And so let's just look what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, underlined in your Bible, says this: the Lord will command the blessing on you and in your barns and in all that you undertake. And He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will command a blessing on you. When you're generous, hear me, everybody look at me. When you're generous, the Lord will command a blessing upon you. What is a blessing? Man, I scratched my head all week. God, what is a blessing? Is it my beautiful family? Is it my beautiful church that you let me pastor? You know what God told me a blessing was? Listen to this. Everybody look. A blessing is a quality of life. A quality of life. A blessing is a quality of life. A blessing is the magnet force in your life that draws you favor from God. A blessing is what gives you, John 10:10, and I have come to give you what? Abundant life. That's the blessing. And Deuteronomy 28:8 says, God will command it upon you when you are generous. And so if only 2.65, or let's look at our numbers. I don't see it. Oh, 11% at Heartcry Church have given a tithe. 11% are getting God's favor, God's quality life, God's abundant life in their family and in their life. 11%. That's not good enough, people. It's not good enough. So what are we to do? God, what are we to do? I cry out. And God gave me this, and I'm going to show you. This is a bag. I want to show you this bag. I'm not going to show you where it's from. It's from like a girl store, Betsy Johnson. I'm not going to show you. Some of us have the bag blessing. Go to Haggai. It's hard to find. But I want to show you some scripture this morning. Haggai 1:6. Write this down, people. He says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You're always hungry. You drink, and you never have your fill. You're always thirsty. You clothe yourself, but you're never warm. You're always cold. And he who earns wages, that's you and me, does so to put them into a bag with holes. With holes. We go out, and we have the bag blessing in our life. We say, God, I want to get all I can, and I'm going to can all I get. That was funny. I'm going to get all I can all I get. God, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. When we say that, we're saying, God, I am my own source. I'm afraid to say that. I am not my own source. God is my source. But today the church has turned into the bag. The bag. It's mine. I can't give it. I won't let go. It's mine. Write these verses down. I'm not going to go there, but look. In Matthew 26:6-16, Judas is carrying the bag, and it had the silver because he betrayed Jesus, and the bag was a curse. A curse. Mine. And then we have the barrel. And I know this doesn't look like a barrel, but it's the best I could do. That's a barrel. This is supposed to be a barrel. I told my wife to get me a barrel. That's my barrel. And the barrel is the second level of blessing. And people, I believe this is where we might be as a church. In 1 Kings 17:10-16, Elijah goes to the widow and she looks in her barrel. And she looks at Elijah, and she looks in her barrel, and she reaches in the barrel, and there was only one cake left. And she looked at her boy that was malnutritioned and was at the edge of death. She looked at herself that was malnutritioned and at the edge of death. She looked at Elijah that was fed by God, and he was doing good. And Elijah said, give me that cake. And for years now, people against the Bible have said, you Christians take the last thing that anybody has to survive on. That is not right. He said, give me that cake, and he ate it. And the lady went back to her barrel, and I can just see her looking in there and looking at her son. And I can see her looking in there and then going, we're going to die, son. But Elijah says, no, look again. And she looked again, and she reached in, and there was just enough. Just enough. Just enough. And as days went by, the Bible tells us that for years there was just enough. And I can see her going to her friends and going, come here, look. Look in the barrel. What do you see? And they would say, nothing. And she'd say, but watch, God. Just enough. Just enough. And when we're generous and we give, God will give us just enough. And I fear that, and not fear, I rejoice that we have moved some of us from the bag level, mine, to here, world. But then there's another level, and it's called the basket level. This is a basket. And the reference, if you look on the screen for the basket level, is Deuteronomy 28:5. And it's also John 6:1-13, a great passage of the little boy that feeds the 5,000. And as the little boy came into town with his fish and loaves, and he had just a little bit in his basket. And Jesus says, I wonder where I can feed these 5,000 men or 20,000 people total. And I can just see the guys on the hill going, they're not getting mine. They're not getting mine. They're not getting mine. And I can see some of them on the hill going, I only have just enough for me. But the little boy said, Jesus, I have my basket. You can have my basket. And Jesus took the basket and he blessed it. And the Bible tells us that after the 20,000 were fed, the disciples gathered together and they filled 12 of these full. More than enough. More than enough. Can you hear me today? And so I see the little boy, his name was probably John, going home with 12 disciples following him. Hey, Mom, let's start Long John Silver's. You know, I mean, he had more than enough. Can you see him? More than enough. And his mom probably said, what'd you do? And he said, all I did was give it to Jesus, and he made it more than enough. People were more generous here, and when the 13 families turns into the 116 families, we're going to have more than enough. We're going to feed people in Haiti. We're going to feed people in Chile. We're going to build buildings next door. We're going to have a school where your kids can be taught the Word of God as the Word of God is supposed to be taught. We're going to reach people all over the world. They're going to come to us, and we're going to say, here, we have more than enough. Dream. And finally, the barn. Everybody's looking at my barn. Thank you, CCS. They had a play, and I said, I got to have that barn. The barn level. Look on the board. Genesis 41:39-47. Joseph is sold by his brothers. Joseph is sent over to Egypt. Joseph is in the worst famine the world has ever seen. And Joseph is given the key to the barn. And the whole world, the Bible says, comes to the barn and is fed through the famine. Why? Because Joseph had the barn mentality. And the barn is not too little, not just enough, not more than enough. The barn is exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever imagine or even ask for. Ephesians 3:20. That's the barn level. And I pray every day that God would teach Heartcry to become the barn level. The level where we can reach and teach people everywhere in the world. I even presented this to the finance team this week. And I said, what if we started giving even $500 a month over to the World Mission Hunger Fund that the Southern Baptist Convention has? We could feed 1,000 people a month for $500 a month. And as soon as I said that, all you that have this mentality went, we can't do that. We got to can all we get and get all we can. But 13 of you said, let's do it. Let's do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever imagine or ask. Let's go feed those kids. My kids told me this week, they Googled this. Oh, I forgot the number. It was like 50-something kids die every minute around the world of starvation. Why? Because the Christian church has got the bag mentality. We've got to start reaching in and getting just enough, going to the basket and getting more than enough, and teaching our church to become people of the barn that have exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever even imagine or ask. And you're saying, Billy, I can see this 3 years ago when we all made money, but even today, more so today. More so today. That's where God wants Heartcry Church. That's where God wants the families that are Christian families to see today and to experience the abundant, blessed life. Maybe you're here today and you don't understand a word coming out of my mouth. Maybe you're here today and the crisis and the depression and the recession is so deep into your family, you think I'm a fool. Let me tell you something. I can preach this because I've been there and I was a fool. But I've learned to give. And maybe you're here today and you want to recommit your life to giving to God. And maybe it starts with a prayer of going, I'm going to start giving my love and compassion, money, resources to God. I need the barn level in my family. Where are you at today? In a crowd this size, there's probably some of you here today that don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Like the gentleman I talked to yesterday and led to Christ. You don't even understand any of this. But you know what? Jesus Christ wants to come into your life because He loves you and He'll give you the hope. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the life that you were intended and made to live. And maybe some of you here today want to join this church like many I showed you earlier have already done. But I pray today that you'll make a decision. And I pray today that you'll listen today and give what you have to God. Hilariously, the Bible says, aren't you glad you were here today to get a biblical principle to make your life better and your family better? I am. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we need you. Father, I pray that we would see your word and your principles. Father, I pray that we would abide by them. But Father, most of all, I pray that you woke us up today so that we can dream. So that we can dream. So that we can dream about what you can do through us, through our generosity. So we can dream about the kids that we can save by feeding them. Little old church in Queen Creek feeding thousands of kids. What a dream. Father, I pray that we can dream about men and women, boys and girls, coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior so they won't have to go to hell when they die, but to a heaven and be at your side. Father, let us dream today. Father, we love you. And we pray for courage and boldness today to make a decision as we come and to give our lives to you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. And it's for His sake we pray. Amen. If God has spoken to you today, will you come? We're not going to carry long. We're going to have an invitation on the first, when Todd starts singing, won't you be the first to come? Will you come? The altars are open. Will you come?
A thousand times.